from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. More on politics and this President Biden's speech yesterday and the catastrophe down at the southern border, which Mr. Biden doesn't want to talk about. And we are fortunate enough to have Senator Ron Johnson of the great state of Wisconsin. Senator Johnson, you're very gracious, and I want to wish you a happy New Year, sir.
Well, Larry, a happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you. So I'm sure you either saw or read about Mr. Biden's speech yesterday at Valley Forge or someplace near Valley Forge or Philadelphia or wherever the heck it was. Donald Trump is the enemy of democracy, and Joe Biden is the savior of democracy. Did I get that right, Senator Johnson?
Yes, and first of all, I have to blame you because you invited me on to talk about this, so I actually had to watch that speech. And it was painful. It was painful to listen to. But as your previous guest said when he was quoting Saul Alinsky, this is classic tactics by the left. Huh. They falsely accused their political opponents of exactly what they were doing. You know, there was a litany there, about two-thirds into the speech. And I just want to give you some of the phrases from that litany. He said, you know, people that are undermining this democracy, in other words, MAGA Republicans, he said, we exploit fear. Well, that's what the left has done with climate change, with the pandemic, traffic in lies. I mean, do you know a president that has lied through his teeth as much as President Biden has? Hmm. They toll for power and profit, driven by grievance and grift. I mean, the Bidens are the greatest grifters that have ever occupied the White House. I said, they're consumed by conspiracy and victimhood. I mean, that's the entire agenda of the left is victimhood and dividing America, and they seek to bury history. It's the left that is taking down all these statues and trying to bury American history. So, again, it is grotesque to have to listen to the president. You know, he also, you know, talked about hyperbole on January 6th. That, you know, I'd like to know who the first person was that coined the phrase thousands of armed insurrectionists. You know, the left is really good at it. They come up with these phrases and they all mimic the same phrase. It was like this pre-planned. And then everybody mimicked it. That's not what an insurrection would look like. And they're saying we're in thousands of armed insurrectionists, but that took hold in the media. And let me just continue this filibuster a little bit longer.
Yeah.
He talked about 140 police officers who were injured, and we all condemn that. You know, there was nobody on the right that liked to see what happened on January 6th in terms of the violence, but we condemned it. Where was the left? Where was President Biden? Where was Vice President Kamala Harris during the riots, the more than 570 riots during the summer of 2020? There were 2,000 police officers injured during those riots. A couple dozen people lost their lives, three in Kenosha, Wisconsin. $1 to $2 billion of property damage. And then President Biden goes, you know, political violence is never, ever acceptable. But they accepted that. His vice president actually encouraged people to give to the bail funds of the Minneapolis rioters. Multiple Democrat politicians encouraged the rioting. Said that, you know, it was more than justified. Of course, those were peaceful protests. That wasn't an insurrection. The couple hours of occupying the Capitol, and that's what it was. It was a couple hours of occupying the Capitol with those rioters staying within the rope lines, most of them being peaceful, okay? That's the insurrection. That's not what an insurrection looks like. So, again, this is hyperbole on the part of the left, using Saul Alinsky's techniques, falsely accuse your political opponents of exactly what it is you do, but they get away with it because the media, by and large, are advocates of the left themselves, and they carry their water for them. That's our problem. That's the biggest danger to our democracy is a dishonest and highly biased to the left media.
That's a great filibuster, Senator Johnson. Anytime. That was a terrific filibuster. I appreciate it very much. What's the impact of this speech? Is there any political impact?
I mean, let's hope not. I mean, I think most people would have taken, you know, my position, never even thought of tuning into it unless they're going to go on your radio show. So my guess is it's just, you know, water off a duck's back. It'll hopefully go down the dustbin of history of just a, you know, just a stupid and awful speech.
Let me switch gears for a second, go down to the border catastrophe. In the Senate, Senator Johnson, is there anything going on? It's very hard to get, you know, we had a reporter on the TV show last night. It's very hard to find any serious negotiations And I wondered if you could fill us in. This cannot continue. 300,000 plus in December. Lord knows how many are going to come over in January. The door is still open. Mayorkas, actually, the House may look into an impeachment of Mayorkas this coming week. Is there anything happening to negotiate the border?
Well, there are negotiations. I think the question is, are they serious? I think from our side, we want to do everything we can to close the border, secure it. The problem is we're working with the Democrat Party led by President Biden that caused the problem. They want an open border. I mean, every Democrat in the Senate, except for Joe Manchin, voted against just completing the fence that we'd already bought and paid for that cost us more not building it. So the Democrat Party, they want an open border. They want, a new world order. They want a borderless globe. And so that's what they're pushing for. So, these are the people that have allowed in more than 6 million people. 1.7 million are what they call known gotaways, but that's a misnomer. We just detect them. We have no idea who those people are. We don't know where most of the 6 million people are. This is a catastrophe, not just for New York City or Chicago, but for small towns throughout America, the drug trafficking, the sex trafficking, the human trafficking. So this is a clear and present danger to America, but we need a president who actually wants to secure the border. We don't have one. So as they're trying to negotiate, all this complex language and putting in different triggers, that type of thing, I don't know who they expect are going to implement this language. I don't think we can count on President Biden to faithfully execute the law. I don't think we have enough Border Patrol at this point in time. When Trump was dealing with this, at most, for 1 month, we had almost 5,000 people a day. But he basically closed the border in 12 months, down to about 500 a day by April 2020. Now we're up to over 10,000 per day average over the last month. One day, 14,500. It's an order of magnitude worse than when President Obama declared it a humanitarian crisis. And his Secretary of Homeland Security said that 1,000 people a day overwhelmed the system. Well, it's overwhelmed by an order of magnitude. So to my mind, this is unprecedented. It's going to require unprecedented action. We have to seal the border using every amount of resource, every type of manpower we can muster, and just say, you're not going to we're not going to let you in. You cannot come to America and get in anymore. I'm sorry. We have to stop this.
During the holiday, Secretary of State Blinken and the DHS Secretary Mayorkas went down to Mexico to meet with AMLO, President Obrador. From what I gather, nothing happened. Nothing came of that.
No, because, again, the solution has always been for Biden is to be able to process and disperse more rapidly. The solution out of AMLO and out of the big city mayors is we just need more federal government funding. Send more money down Central America. And all that's going to do is incentivize a larger flow. If we support the sanctuary cities, we're going to be taking care of the migrants. They have cell phones. They're going to call back and they say, hey, get to the border. Literally, we were on a plane in 8 hours. That's their goal, to process and disperse within 8 hours. It's just going to open up the flow. It's going to incentivize. It's going to exacerbate the problem.
Where is Senator Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, on this?
Well, he wants, the war funding for Ukraine, for Israel, for Taiwan. They want to package it all together because there's a controversy in some of those things. And, McConnell has been saying, well, if we're going to do that, we better get border security. But I'm afraid he's taken the position of the Wall Street Journal. It pains me to say this, that it'd be a win-win if you get Ukraine funding and then modest immigration reform. Immigration reform is not going to work. And right. We literally, as Republicans, are going to look like Charlie Brown to the left, Lucy, if we agree to something that doesn't actually secure the border, which is why I've been suggesting we need benchmarks. We need to hold the administration accountable for actually reducing the flow, stopping the flow over, I'd say, a 12-month period. Trump did it. We ought to be able to do it, too.
Well, I interviewed House Speaker Mike Johnson. He was down at the border at Eagle Pass, Texas. I interviewed him, I think it was Wednesday, but the point is, he's fighting hard. He wants H.R. 2, which is the House bill, which is, complete the wall, remain in Mexico, and so forth, catch and deport. Now, I said, are you going to hang tough? And he said he was going to hang tough. Seems to me he's got to get with Joe Biden. There's going to have to be some kind of meeting, some kind of confrontation.
I'm completely supportive of passing H.R. 2 and stronger language. The point I'm making is at this point in time, we don't have enough personnel to implement that language.
Mm.
And we don't have a president who's willing to do it either.
Mm.
Again, you see this president just ignoring Supreme Court rulings. The Supreme Court says the eviction moratorium is unconstitutional. He just extended it, said forgiving student loans is unconstitutional. He continues to forgive them.
Mm.
So, again, we've got a president who's the root cause of this problem, wants an open border. We're supposed to rely on him to faithfully execute even the good language of H.R. 2.
Mm.
I mean, we have to be realistic about this, which is why we need benchmarks that he has to hit in exchange for something he wants. And right now that seems to be Ukraine funding.
And one last one, Senator Ron Johnson, and we appreciate it very, very much. Continuing resolution is going to come due pretty soon. Is there anything going on there?
Not that I'm aware of. Apparently, they're negotiating something. But you know, my best guess, and this wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, is just have a CR for the rest of the year and then focus this year on a functioning budget and appropriation process the way it should be carried out. You know, starting in February, March, April, pass a budget, have that guide the appropriation process, pass them in the House, pass them in the Senate, reconcile those two bills in the conference committee and put them on the president's desk.
Yeah.
I think if I were to bet, that's where we're kind of going to end up at, because I don't think Speaker Johnson has the votes to, you know, basically cave into what the Senate does.
Senator Ron Johnson, you are the best. I mean it. Thank you ever so much for being so gracious with your time. Thank you for watching the TV speech. I'm sorry to put you through that, sir.
Well, you owe me one, Larry. God bless you. Take care.
I do. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side of the break is my dear friend Heather McDonald, very, very critical of the Harvard Corporation and the whole Claudine Gay fiasco at Harvard University. We'll talk with Heather McDonald of the Manhattan Institute. I'm Kudlow. Please stick around. More coming.
Larry Kudlow on 77 WABC.